If I remember hearing one time that if you didn't know anything about someone except you knew their friends, you know, that would tell you a lot about the person. If you, even if you didn't know the person, their friends. But I think with Darren, your children tell us a lot about you. Now, they don't just tell a lot about you, they tell a lot about your lovely wife, you know. But we just love your kids, and they tell a lot about you. The second thing I want to say, Darren, is when Mark Brisbois and you had coffee, and I was privileged to just kind of sit in on that, on you guys connecting there in my living room. He said something that really I felt was significant. He said that many people are anointed to go to the nations and to preach in large stadiums and have like many people come. But but God has chosen, really uniquely chosen, to anoint, to put a strong anointing on people who are willing to go to those smaller places and minister to the smaller, sometimes just four and five, six people. Now, he might speak to that. But also, and Darren, you've done both, and I know you will continue to do both, but that spoke a lot. And I felt that was really an honoring thing for Mark to speak over your life, you know, that there was that anointing that is very unique, because you won't get some of these big guys, you know, like who go into the stadiums to go into those little villages and have a home meeting with a small group of believers. Darren, come on up and bring the word and bring what God has put on your heart.
Bless you. Thank you. It's nice to be here. I'm going to ask the boys to, I'm a, among other things, an artist, and I've painted over 3,000 paintings at this point. And I have about five, I brought six because I thought instead of the grace, I'd do the, I'm in the, Jonathan, can you help? And two of my boys, I have four boys here and one daughter, but I have seven children. Turn them, yeah. They call me a prophetic artist, but I'd rather be called an artist or a painter, because really my art really hits the secular world quite a bit. I travel and I paint. In every nation I've been to, I try to leave art, and this is a big part of what I do is art. I haven't always been a Christian. I guess there's a camera here, so sorry guys. I'll try to stay in the camera. I was an atheist for a long time. Intellectual. I did a lot of university. I was 28 before I was done school. And then I got recruited into the government of Canada in national security background in the Office of the Auditor General back just before September 11th, and I was I was an auditor in national security. I worked in Treasury Board as a RCMP analyst, and I did jobs for 15 years around national security, mostly related to terrorism. So that's what I did. But and people say, how do you do that and be an artist too? Oh, we got another preacher. He's cute. That boy's gonna be tall. Oh. You know what I mean? You can tell he's just going to be tall. Thank you, Lord. And so for 15 years, I worked in there, and they said, well, how can you? I was an economist, which really is an art. They call it a science, but there's an art form to it. So I remember having dreams when I was in government, painting big pictures for the government. And really, I would go into a department, and they would say, can you do this math problem? I'd say, absolutely. And I wouldn't know how to do it at all, to be honest. But then I would just pray and trust God, and he would always give me the math. I solved billion-dollar math problems for the government in the time that I was there. So I had a lot of fun working in there, but God called me to the nations. When I was 16 years old, I had a dream that I was to be a preacher, and I fell away from the Lord at the age of 22. I ended up back in university. Oh, this is normal for me. That everywhere I go, that happens. So, thank you, Lord. Whew, just let the kids be kids, amen. God is good. And he called me into, it was by a dream, a vision, and I live by dreams and visions. I'm what you would call a seer in the spirit. Many of you are, and you just don't want to call yourself that because you think it's pride, but get over that. That's what you are. That's what you are. I believe in the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. And I don't believe, you know, some people are calling themselves, it says in the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 12 toward the end, desire the greater gifts, or desire to be the gift. And so desire to be a prophet, desire to be an apostle. These are, you know, as you desire or desire to walk in the gift of miracles or the gift of administrations, desire to be a gift to the body of Christ. And my desire, because I didn't hear God's voice for so long, I wrote a book called The Science of Prophetic Ministry. And somebody got angry with me the other day because everybody seems to be angry with science right now because Trudeau is saying it so much. But science really is like a social science of understanding the way God speaks or categorizing it. So I categorized the way God speaks to me. And then I began to look into the scriptures to see how God spoke to the people in the scripture. And God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Can I get an amen on that? I love Canada. They're so quiet. You know what I mean? You'll see they like you, you know, because they'll go. Woo! You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm going to try to make you laugh. If you don't, I'll try harder. I remember one time in Perth, Australia. I don't know why I told this crazy story that I'm not going to share here for at least 3 years. Let's put it that way. But I told this story, and I remember there was three Malaysian ladies, little ladies, tiny ones, and sitting on the front row. And one of them snorted so hard, she went up into the air, and her legs came up, and the chair snapped, and she went out over and to the floor while the other two ladies were trying to pick her up. So, you know, laughter is good medicine, amen? And God wants to heal the hearts. And my ministry is about deliverance. And absolutely, you know, deliverance comes in the peace of God. And in the atmosphere right now, can you feel the peace in the room now? That's the manifest presence of God. He's manifesting himself to you now as peace, as joy. You know, I've been down to, is Pastor Ken here? I want to say bless you. Last week, I was trying to get a coffee because I love coffee. I do. And he was back there, but I didn't recognize him. I said, you're the coffee guy, are you? He goes, yes. I said, well, what's your name? He said, Pastor Ken. I went, oh, he's a humble man of God. You know what I mean? Like, that's true. I love humility. Humility is powerful. Because then I was like ashamed a little bit because I didn't recognize him because he was serving in that role. And to me, that speaks about your church. I say your church because I've been here 5 months. I still feel like I'm just getting to know your church. You know what I mean? I didn't ask to speak. I would never ask to speak. They asked me to speak. I've learned to sit in the back and just watch and try to feel things. And one of the things I've felt is the humility in this church, but also the kindness and the love. There's like a, you can feel, I said this a couple of weeks ago, but even through the emails, I can see the love that people had as Marvin was going through what he went through and then subsequently got his reward. You could feel the love that you had for him. And I admire that. Another thing I admire that I've been with, this is, you can call this prophetic if you want, because prophetic really, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 is about encouragement, edifying, and building up. So as long as you walk in encouragement, really you're prophesying. And anybody can prophesy. I always tell people, if you have a good thought for somebody, it's probably not from the devil. Okay, you know, if you have like a, I want to encourage that person, probably not the devil telling you to do that. And as you step into it, you're going to see people encouraged. Amen. I remember I have a lot of friends that are well known. I won't share the names because it's not important. But I remember one time I was like this one down in Texas. And I know this person is known by thousands of people all around the world. And the Lord told me to encourage that person. I said, God, I don't need to encourage that person. They have so many people around them. You know what I mean? Like, why would I bother encouraging them? But, you know, when God speaks, you obey. Can I get an amen on that? You know that your obedience will represent blessing. As you step into obedience, blessing has, this is like a magnet. that comes to your life as you do what God says. So I just said, I wrote the person an email, and I said, I just want you to know, and whatever I said, I don't know. But it was an encouraging word. And they wrote back, this well-known prophetic voice in America, I can't believe you did that today because today is my birthday. Are you hearing me? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what your encouragement will do. You have to step out by faith. And it's always scary. And now I've prophesied over 60,000 or more around the world. This week, I prophesied over 500 people by mistake. You know what I did? I put on Facebook, I said, if you want an encouraging word, if you want a prophecy, go to my website, put your email into our subscribers, and I will write you a prophetic word. I got 500 emails right on the nose. Like, I mean, somebody needs to know what 500 means. It's probably a prophetic word, but it was 500. I can tell you, that's a lot of work. The prophecy, if you don't know the pro, and I'm like every time I had to go out, it was like, oh, I got to go out again. I got to go out again. But I would go out, and I've learned to endure. I've learned to persevere. I've learned to continue in Christ, that every day that I get up, I'm going to be fruitful. My determination in my heart is that I will be fruitful in one way or another. In that way, we've built a social media ministry that has 80,000 people following us all around the world. And that's not as big a sum, but it's still pretty good. You know what I mean? And, you know, we've developed at least 10 different pages in social media. I have four Instagram pages that do very well. The smallest one has about 3,000 people following it. My art page has over 10,000 people following it. It's nothing for us to get 2,000 likes or in a month to get 300,000 people see my art around the world. In Instagram or in Facebook, where we began because of a dream. Amen. And I want you to put your hand on your head right now and just declare, Lord,
I'm here,
and I want to hear from you.
I want to
live Acts chapter 2. I want to have dreams and visions. And I want to see by the Holy Spirit. You know your inheritance. Is that first sermon that Peter gave. He stood up. Look, if you want to look at this church, you want it to be a cedar church. A church that's grafted into the vine. Where by the Spirit, the Spirit speaks to your spirit. And he gives you visions and dreams
to live a good life.
To live a blessed life. You know that word?
You know that word?
That word about shalom.
I
love that word. I actually was in a church in America recently, and they wanted me to paint a painting for them called Shalom. And I painted Shalom for them. And really, I painted the New Jerusalem and the city of God. And in it, I painted a cardinal, or what they would call a red bird down there, which represents Christ. Whew! How? I don't know. I just read it in a prophetic book. You know, I mean, I can get into all of that, but that's what it represents, right? And shalom is everything that you need to live a good life. When you say shalom, you're saying, I want you to be blessed. In every way a person can be blessed. I want your house to be blessed. I want your family to be blessed. I want your health to be blessed. I want you to prosper in every way. And so I declare shalom today. And the manifest presence of God as shalom is here today. You may be experiencing it. Maybe when you go away from you suffer with anxiety, fear. I get it. I went through that too. I used to be on meds and all that kind of stuff, but I tell you, Jesus is much better. Whew, I'm going to tell you. Well, you know, you have to surrender every thought to Christ. The renewal of the mind is daily. You may struggle in the area of the mind, but surrender the mind to Christ. This is my message. When I see people struggling in the area of the mind, you don't have to. What you need to do is invite Christ into that thought. Jesus, why should I not be worried about this now? And then you know what I do? I go a little deeper. I'll say, whew, where are you now? You're there. I can feel you now. Often when I do, almost instantly, my mind shifts back into peace. I've surrendered to that. I've surrendered to actually bringing Christ into my thoughts so that as soon as anxiety begins to manifest, and it will, amen, the storms come. The trials come.
As soon as it comes, I surrender to the Lord. Where are you now in my financial problem? Where are you now in this health issue? Where are you now with my family? Whew, you know, my mother prayed me into the kingdom. You know, ironically, listen to this. My mom's back there. Wait, Judy, there's Judy. And her, Lydia's parents are back there, Charlie and Alexander. And Lydia's, stand up, Lydia. She's my number one right there. Thank you, Lord. I love that woman. Let me tell you something. If she leaves me, I'm going with her. Simple as that. There's no way. You know, that woman is awesome. I love that woman. She, at night, she'll say, Lydia, you need to pray for me right now. And this is all she does. Dear Jesus, touch Darren now. And shalom comes. And I go to sleep. Thank you, Lord. I struggle just like you. But I've learned to surrender to the cloud of his presence. And in the cloud, I am strong. When I'm weak, he is strong. And Lord, so strengthen me. I wrote 500 prophetic words this week. I was really glad I found the tool where you can dictate your emails. I was like, after 100, I was like, I got to find some easier way because my hands are starting to cramp up. You know, if you want to know what 500 looked like, it's over 30 pages of written words, about 25 to 30,000 words. So I wrote a book this week of prophetic. I actually want to do a book where my art and a word is tied together. These paintings are prophetic. That's zinnias. I love zinnias. I love poppies. These are prophetic. This is a wild horse. This represents the season we're in. When I painted that, I mean, Jesus is the white horse. He's running from this realm into our realm, bringing victory. Amen. And you see the color represents shalom. Woo, shalom. Amen. Thank you, Father. So that's what that is about. I love the lion of the tribe of Judah, don't you? I was in Rome, Italy, just for fun. Actually, I love art. And so I went to so many places with statues. And I went into the Vatican. There's at least 100,000 paintings in the Vatican. Everywhere you look, angels, Jesus on the throne, amazing artwork. And when I was in Rome for 2 days, woo, thank you, Father, I saw in a vision the lion of the tribe of Judah. When I said I saw him in a dream, I saw a destructive wave that was about to come into the earth. I believe we're in it. That wave that the enemy sent at us was meant to destroy us. Amen. Whew, it was. That COVID, whatever you want to call it, was meant to absolutely paralyze and destroy humanity. But God. But God. Amen. When I was in Rome, which is awesome because I had the vision in Rome. Listen to this. I saw in a dream the Lion of Judah, and I was running toward him. Just to see him, wouldn't you? Whoo! I would. I was like, I just want to see him. And that's it. You know, the day that I transpire or transfer from here to there, I'm running to the throne. Simple as that. I want to see Jesus. I want to see my God. I believe I've seen him as in a mirror dimly, but then I will see him what? Face to face. Thank you, Lord. So I saw him dimly in Rome. As the Lion of Judah, and he was vital. There was a vitality and energy inside of him that he moved about as a supersonic youth, and yet he's the Ancient of Days. You know what I mean? I was like, "Woo!" You know what I mean? I stopped running a long time ago. Let's just be honest. I used to play. Anybody who went to Bible school with me remembers me with a big hairdo and skinny. And I played basketball. I wouldn't say I was very good, but I played basketball. We would run for hours, but those days are gone. You know what I mean? But the Lion of Judah, he's vital. He has a vitality and a strength that has overcome this world. And he conquered sin and death. So that you and I wouldn't remain in it, but that we'd be like him where he is now. And that vitality is in us too. and his strength is inside of us. We speak to the storms. I love the scripture in Romans chapter 16. It says, the God of peace, or shalom, will soon crush Satan. Where? Beneath your foot. So the weight of peace inside of you will step into the face of the enemy. And as you resist the devil, he will flee. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. There was a brother who preached on that a couple of weeks ago. Our part is simply to pray and to be in supplication. And supplication means begging. God, help me. Lord, where are you? Like David in Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is a powerful psalm. You need to memorize it. Psalm 18, here's David surrounded by his enemy, Saul, probably in his army. And he goes, God. He just, it's like a primordial scream rises up out of him as an intercession and lands where? In the throne room of God. Here's the Father. Now, this is a picture of the Father. His son screams, the one whose heart, you know what I mean? God loved David. His heart was, he had this heart of worship, David, that hit the throne room all the time. And God knew him, and he blessed him because of that. And you know, God will bless you because of your heart of worship. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Someone say amen. He's the same God who blesses those who seek him with all their heart. Seek me and you shall find me when you seek me with all your heart. Have you sought it? Sometimes you said, brother, I've tried that. Like, no, you didn't. You might have tried a little bit, but did you seek him with all your heart? Because if you do, there's a promise. He will touch you. He will come. There will be a victory. Whew, be anxious for nothing, Philippians chapter 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. That's your job. If you're anxious, God. And then what does it say? The God of peace will protect your heart. Thank you, Lord. The peace will come as you supplicate. The peace will come as you pray. You may not get the answer. The mountain may not have moved in the moment that you prayed, but God is in the waiting. And his peace will be with you in the waiting. As soon as you pray, you will feel that peace come. Whew. And if you don't continue to pursue it, push beyond the veil. I had to learn that. And I believe I learned it about 12 years ago. We were in the middle of revival in the church that we went to before this. And there was a lot of spiritual warfare. I'm talking, you're in the middle of revival. You guys know there's warfare. I've seen people before I've come into the regions, their animals die. Legs get broken over and over. People die after I go. It's terrible. Whew, terrible, the warfare. But we have to continue to push. And you say, oh, me. If you get lost in the me, you're underneath the warfare. You've got to rise above it. And the scripture says in James, consider it pure joy when you face trials of what? Many kinds. I always go, if I'm sick, I go, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive because I can feel it now. I remember I started my full-time ministry in 2015, I think it was. I left my job. Within 6 weeks, I was in Australia and came underneath a witchcraft attack, and my foot snapped. My Achilles tendon went like this. My whole leg swelled up this big. And I said, devil, you're a liar. I said, the word of God says that the Lord protects the bones of the righteous, and therefore I'm not even going to go to the doctor. And I didn't. For 12 weeks, I walked into 11 nations like this. I had over 100 people praying for me. They say, brother, the Lord just told me I need to pray for you. Will you let me? I was like, yeah, sure, here you go. I had well-known prophetic boy, well-known healing evangelist, pray for that thing. And the Lord said to me early on, he said, somebody's going to pray for that. They'll not have a reputation, and it'll be healed. So now I'm in, I actually left Canada. On the day of the terrorist attack that hit Paris, where 113 people were killed, I was flying into Paris that day. When I got off the plane, I was surrounded by machine guns. 4 days later, I was in the middle of revival in Paris. in apartment buildings. Amen. Whew, I went down to the Eiffel Tower, and there was only two people there, and they were kissing. I thought, love still remains. You know, love still remains. Thank you, Jesus. I preached there, and I ended up in, I was going to say Italy, but that was a different trip, Germany. And I have a ministry in Berlin. And I've been there a few times. It was scary for me when I first went there. You have all kinds of fears you don't know you have until you're in a place where it all of a sudden begins to manifest. Like the time I was in Russia, and suddenly I got delivered from an intelligent spirit of paranoia. Whew! Because we were told the Russians, you know, the Russians. And here I was from a national security background. In Russia, got delivered from a spirit of a trauma of intelligent spirit, I guess you would call it, a negative one. Thank you, Father. But in Germany, I had fear of, because we're told that some of our blood is Jewish. And so suddenly I'm in a place where, you know, the memory, and I'm a real student of World War II, and I'm there. And suddenly that part of me begins to have a trauma. And I began to pray, God, deliver me. Deliver me. Because this is how you get delivered, right in the midst of the fear, all alone. Amen. Like the time I was in India, and I'm all alone, so far from home, you know what I mean? When I want to talk to anybody, they're all in bed asleep. And nobody speaks my language that well. And I remember closing my eyes and going, I'll never be alone. You're with me. I saw 8,000 people touched on that trip by the power of God. People were leaping up, healed from not being able to walk. It was an amazing trip. Died almost three times on that trip. I'm not exaggerating. Don't have the time to go into it. But nearly bled out. Passed out on an aircraft. Woke up in diarrhea. 200 people heard me hit the floor. Boom. My heart stopped. Came back around, and I began to go, God is so good. I thought, God is so good. God, you know why? I thought this story is going to go around the world. All you did, enemy, was give me a testimony of overcoming even here. Amen? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, Pastor Ken last week, he challenged me without even knowing it. Have you been downtown to pray yet? I went, not really. It's like I drove down there three times, but I didn't get out and walk with the people, you know? So this week I went down, and I've been down there four times now. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And the same shalom came on me when I was down there. I got addicted to it. So I was like, Lydia, you want to go? Or boys, you want to go? We need to go down. Thank you, Lord. Even when they threatened 2 days ago, yesterday, we're like, we need to go. And yesterday, if anybody down there yesterday, it was like a street party. I couldn't believe how many people were down there, even with the threats. But the shalom is there. I looked in people's eyes this week and go, my God, they're drunk and not in wine. You know, these guys are drunk in the Holy Spirit. Hey, there were like so many what I call prayer walkers walking around down there. And then I'm bumping into people and doing a little interview on my phone. And I realized afterward I knew them. They used to come to the church. You know what I mean? They were drunks in the spirit. And they're down there and they're loving it because the shalom is there. It doesn't matter what you go through. The shalom. That's why I'm addicted to traveling around the world. And I like going alone. I remember I was preaching on the northern part of India in the Punjab. Whew, I don't know where. That's as accurate as I'm going to get. But I was 200 meters from the Pakistani border where my friends told me this is where the terrorists cross into India right here. I went, and it's like 10 o'clock at night. There's 300 people in an outdoor meeting, and I'm preaching open air. And the power that came out, you know why? Was as soon as I went to India, I was scared because I kept all these well-meaning Christians. If you're going to do something for the Lord, there's going to be a lot of well-meaning Christians. sending you emails telling you why you shouldn't do this. I got it. Amen. I wasn't there for that. I was there for Brian Peckford. That was powerful. He was my premier when I was 10 years old. I actually went to school with his niece, and I lived about a 10-minute walk from the government building. That's why, because of Brian Peckford, that I desired to work in government. So to hear him speak yesterday, Brian Peckford was the premier of Newfoundland from 1979. I'm a Newfoundlander, not a Newfie. I don't like that term. So you guys can use it if you want, but not around me. Newfoundlander from Newfoundland. And he was the premier, and he was a part of the, I guess, the meetings around the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And apparently, he was the one that actually, I don't know how you say it, pushed that, the one that was accepted, he was the one who asked them to accept this form of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And although there are so many people still around that were a part of that, he's the only one really who's publicly speaking and saying, actually yesterday he said this, which I love. He said, this is the first time that the Charter has been tested. And it really, this is a testing. We'll make it. Amen. Can you feel it? You feel that breakthrough? Anybody feel the breakthrough? I got two dreams I need to share. I could have gone on about India, but I won't. The only thing about India was I had an angel show up first day on the job in India. I preached in 30 meetings. 8,000 people were touched by God in those meetings in 3 weeks. Nearly died three times. First meeting, I'm scared because of those emails that came. And then the first meeting, we got 100 people in a backyard looking at me, sitting on the ground on carpet or blankets that they put out. And an angel flew right into the meeting. Big blue, like bumblebee size, bright blue, like an LED blue light. Whoa, right into the meeting. And I heard like a giant coming in. You can't make, you know, you see it and you're like, what the? And I'm drunk in the spirit as it happens. Just come. It's like an angel before the throne carrying the presence of God, the fire of God. Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet has a fire touch his lips. Remember that? A coal, the angel comes with the coal. It was a baptism, the fire and the Holy Spirit. Who sets him apart for what? Preaching the gospel. When that fire hits you like it did to me that day, the Lord said, as I saw it, preach as one with an authority, because this angel is going with you everywhere you go. Then I saw the angel go 30,000 feet up, and it actually glowed blue all over the northern part of India. Whew, So I'm on the border, a Pakistan terrorist there. I'm looking at houses in the dark, and there are people. I'm like, they could have guns for all I know. You know what I mean? Can we be real? Unless you put yourself in that spot, don't judge me. Whew, it is tough. But the fire comes in the middle of that. And you can stand up boldly and preach because, well, God gives you many visions and dreams of your future. And you know you're going to make it through. You just know that you know. Whew, I saw myself on in the dreams. Kind of funny dream because I went through a divorce, and that was the hardest thing I ever went through in my life. Anybody who went through that knows what I'm talking about. And so I meet Lydia. First of all, it took me 2 years to really come to a place in my heart that I could be married again. And then with much healing from the body of Christ and many dreams and visions. And when Lydia and I decided we got persecuted like you wouldn't believe. So God began to speak to me, and he showed me, and I said, God, I don't even know if I trust that this marriage will make it. You know what I mean? We've seen generational divorce in our family come out of a pile of rubble when it comes to marriages. I said, Lord, you need to show me. And he gave me a dream. And in it, I saw my 50th wedding anniversary cake. And it was only about this big, but here's Lydia and I standing on top of it. And I knew that meant I got 50 years. So you can speak death over me all you want. You're just blessing me to get to that place, and I'll get there. We've been married 15 years now, and it seems like yesterday. And you look at the shalom is on the family. Don't mean we don't go through things. I can be a little loud sometimes if you couldn't tell. You can tell. Like, you know, I'm looking at you. I was a street fighter when I was a kid, you know what I mean? And I then took that into the intellectual realm and became a really, reason why I moved into the top ranks of the government, because I was a tough guy. And they would send me in when it was tough. My boss would always, I'd come back to my boss, say, hey, boss, he said, he'd swing around his chair, put his feet up on the table, go, ha, tell me what you did today. Just like that. I know you get all the tough nuts to crack, he would say. It's just like that. So I had a lot of healing that I needed. Let's just be honest, and still do. And just let you know I'm on that path and I'm happy. God is good. I had two dreams I want to share, and then I'll end. I could go on and on, but I won't. Thank you, Lord. The lion of the tribe of Judah roared in my dream, and there was a wave coming. And when he roared, it disappeared. So what you're seeing today is disappearing. And that's the Lord speaking, not me. Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones, what did he do? He repeated what God said. And there was a mighty resurrection power that was released in the valley of dry bones. Whew, thank you, Lord. Pastor Chuck mentioned that I go to places. I remember going to Colorado for one guy on the plane. I've preached in front of thousands, and I remember I preached in front of thousands, all my evangelist friends, hey, Darren, can I go with you on the next trip? Like, you know, they see you at one or two, and they're like, ah, yeah, here you go, yeah. But if I'm in front, I got a picture with thousands in front of me, they all want to come. But who wants to go when it's one or two? You don't understand? I've preached to one or two people, and those people's ministries exploded. I can name names of people that I've spoken prophecies into. Their ministries exploded within a month. I just have one gentleman right now. His ministry now on TikTok is reaching 200,000 people per broadcast, like every time he puts one out. But before I prophesied, that wasn't happening. Are you hearing me? Who wants to speak to the ones you do not know? The power of God that will be made manifest is like a fire enters into them. Another lady out on the west coast of America, I remember she came on my broadcast. I said, the Lord says, and I'll be able to probably say, you're about to explode in fire. Boom. Within a week, I see this woman on a broadcast, and she's like, oh my God, you need to know. God just spoke to me. Just really like emotional. You need to know. God spoke. He said he'd be able to prophesy. And I'm like, this woman is speaking the stuff I prophesy. So I wrote her, and she actually wrote me. I've been attacked. I'm like, get over it. Get over it. I've been attacked. So what? You're all going to be attacked. You might as well just enjoy it. I'm being honest. Enjoy it. Whew, thank you. I'd rather be attacked than be ignored. So, she wrote, and then I said, how in the world did you get to know me? She said, I was on your broadcast. I went, oh, my Lord. There was one that another guy heard my name in Australia in a dream, never heard of me in normal, in a dream heard my name. And I was in the Gold Coast of Australia, met him, walked on a beach with him, prophesied over him, and then his ministry exploded on the internet. So now he's known all over North America for his prophetic ministry. God will use you when you go to the ones. That's why I go to the ones. Why? Now I'm fruitful through them. I hear me. You know, if you're a parent, I am, right? You know what a parent does? He encourages them. So I have my son there, Joseph, who already has a social media ministry on Instagram, gets 300, 400 likes on his posts that go out every day. I encouraged him. So therefore, I'll be fruitful through him. Whew, you know, you're fruitful. You know, I have seven natural children. Now I have three grandchildren. I'm fruitful because those children produce grandchildren. Whew, so it's the same in the spirit. You know, I love Glennie. Glennie is like radical on the internet, right? I encourage her to continue to do it. So if you want encouragement, just come up to me. I'm shy in a way. I'm actually a bit of an introvert, so you're not going to see me walk up to you necessarily, but feel free to walk up to me. I love you, even though, whew, thank you, Lord. I'm a little nervous too, because there's so many people that do know me. And they act like sometimes like they know everything about you because we present our lives to the world. How's Lydia and Joseph and Jonathan? And I'm like, who are you? I love you. Who are you? Thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? So you do get a little, you do close off because, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just being transparent. But, when we attached ourselves to this group, and you embraced us, we intend to be here with you and to love you, and hopefully you'll love us too. And that's our, we don't come to a place just to come and hang out. We want to pour in too. Pastor, you really encouraged me last week. I went downtown because of you. I said, well, where do you park? Try to make an excuse, He said, well, anywhere, just find a spot. I was like, okay, I'll go down, First time down, I put my camera on. Over 14,000 people saw that broadcast. Sid Roth saw it and called me to interview me about what's going on in Ottawa and called me about you guys remember you were praying for me back in the fall because I was thrown into the hotel 6 days in the same underwear. I'll be honest, I washed them once. After that, I grew grim. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not washing my underwear. I did shower. Thank you, Lord. And I looked at thousands of planes flowing over that place. That was a tough experience. And I knew then that being double vaxxed meant nothing. I just knew that. And that was grim. That was a hard moment. And so I believe we're in a time of change. I don't care what you believe. I love you. And what I love about what I'm seeing in this protest is all the love. There's a lot of negativity. And there's some bad ones. But for the most part, it's been very positive. I had a dream 9 years ago. And I saw the sun rising over the western mountains of Canada. And I saw, it was like, coming up. And I know that's not coming the right way. It should be coming from the east. It hits the top of the mountains between Alberta and British Columbia, which I've had the blessing to climb those mountains many times. Thank you, Lord. I love going out there. I love the mountains. I've been in mountains all around the world. And so it starts coming east after that. And as it was coming, I heard revival. Woo! So where did this protest begin? In British Columbia and Alberta. And that thing came across the country like a steam train. Did you hear the roar that as it came? Have you seen the videos of the truckers? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we've trespassed against you and deliver us from you. Woo! And then they stand up for justice. That sounds like a revival. That's a grassroots revival. Listen, I grew up in trucker family. My mom's family were all truckers. They were crude sometimes, coarse. What came out of their mouths was like, ooh. Right? But you didn't speak against Jesus to them. My family were always had a fear of God on them. Listen, I read a stat about 2-3 weeks ago. I think the media was celebrating this, that in 10 years, it's no longer 67% of Canadians identify as Christian. It's now only 64. What's the difference, You had what? How many immigrants came in during that time carrying the religions with them? Oh, there's no difference in the number. You've just allowed in more people with different religions. Nothing against that. Because I believe there's going to be a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. And there will be so many people. I think there's over 200 nations in Canada from nations around the world. Right? Now think about a revival hitting that. And then suddenly they're going home, preaching the gospel. The Lord said there'll be a river of nations in Canada that will worship the Lord in their own tongues, in their own tribes. That's the word I carry for Canada. I tell you, it got pretty gloomy, though. It got pretty gloomy the last 2 years. Am I right? I was like, man, I'm going to Texas. But Lydia won't let me. She won't. She's like, no, we're staying here. We're staying here. Whew, I'm going to Texas. I'm tired of this. And then suddenly we're proud to be Canadian again. Am I right? Are you proud? Are you proud? Maybe you're not. I love one guy said, listen, we all want to get out of the house and be with each other again. If you want to stay in the basement, do so. Just stay inside. But the rest of us, we're done. We're done with an agenda that's greater than mask, that's greater than a vax. It's a worldview that opposes Christianity, and it's actually violent toward Christ. And if we allow it and don't stand up in this hour, there's going to be, no, it's not going to happen. Why? Because we're standing now. We're resisting now. We're going to resist the enemy. And what? He's going to flee in seven ways.